For the next few weeks, I want to preach a series of sermons called Moments with Jesus. The first message in this series today is entitled A Transformational Moment. A transformation or transforming moment. A transforming moment is a significant event that leads to a lasting, profound change in someone's life. And it often results in a new perspective, new behaviors, and possibly even new beliefs. These moments can be sudden, they can be dramatic, or they can even be like the moment for the leper in our gospel lesson today. A leper comes to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling before him, and saying, "Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean." As I read that text this week, I said, does it strike you as it did me that this was really a profound statement? It was a thought-provoking or deeply personal question, the leper's question. Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. It's not just a request for physical healing, but it's really a plea for acceptance. It's a plea for restoration. It stands out because it's a humble acknowledgement of his need and a profound expression of his faith and his condition. Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. This question that the leper asked touches upon a really deep philosophical and theological question regarding the nature of God. It suggests that if God is all-powerful, the word that we use for that is omnipotent. If God is all-powerful, then God's actions are really contingent upon God's willingness. That means no one can force God to do anything. So can God be able but not willing? That's the question I want you to ponder this week. It's a deep question. If God is able, then why wouldn't God be willing to stop wars? If God is able, why wouldn't God be willing to eliminate hunger? If God is able, why wouldn't God be willing to eradicate diseases? Despite the political backlash, the leper bravely approached Jesus and acknowledged his need for help. And being fully aware of his condition, his courage to go to Jesus, despite his condition, is really inspiring for all of us, because what this leper suffered from was Hansen's disease, which is one of the most horrific diseases in the ancient world. None of the diseases and afflictions that devastated the ancient world was more feared or fearsome than leprosy. The World Health Organization estimates that even today, it afflicts hundreds of thousands of people worldwide, mostly people in developing nations. Leprosy. It's like some forms of cancer. It begins really small with a red spot on the skin. And before too long, the spot gets bigger and starts to turn white and scaly, and the spot soon spread over the entire body, and the hair begins to fall out from the head, and the eyebrows, and even the eyelashes, and things worsens, and fingernails and toenails begin to rot, leprosy. Then the joints and the fingers and the toes begin to fall off. The gums begin to shrink to the point that they can no longer hold teeth anymore. Leprosy keeps eating away at the face until the nose, the palate, and even the eyes begin to rot. The disease of leprosy consumes a person's entire body.
But as horrible as this physical suffering is, it may be worse, the isolation and the social separation that leprosy causes a person to suffer. Leprosy and the way people treat people who have leprosy. In the Old Testament book of Leviticus, you know that book in the Bible that most Christians probably can't even find, or most Christians have probably never read at any point. When a person had leprosy in the Old Testament, they were required to be quarantined, and they were required to be examined. A person with leprosy would be banished from their village, would no longer have a community around them or be able to be in communion with their fellow citizens. They would have to leave their family and friends. It was an unlawful for a leper to approach you 50 feet away. And if the wind was blowing, they had to stay 200 feet away from you. They couldn't touch their family. They couldn't see their family. They had to see them from a distance. They were required to tear their clothes so that you and I could identify their disease. They had to dress in mourner's clothing to identify themselves because they were really walking in a death sentence. They were going to their own funeral. And every time a person who had leprosy saw someone, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." This would warn the people that there was a leper coming. And out of fear, some people would stone lepers just for the fun of it. Leprosy. The way these people were treated because they had a particular disease. As I studied this text, I thought, what if people in our society were treated that way today because they had other diseases? Some of us have heard of the seven deadly sins, but have you heard of the seven deadly social sins? Politics of fear, hate, and exclusion is a government that strokes division and tries to drive a wedge between people for electoral votes. Misuse of creation, abuse of the environment and animals, society without love. Politics is indifferent and intolerant to people who are not of a particular party. Unjust wealth, where you have an upper class and a lower class, and no class in between. You just miss class. Business without morality. Business exploit people, even children. Science without humanity, where you can develop things in the lab, and if they slip out into the world and affect other people, we really don't care. Exploitation of ignorance, where you're trying to take books off the shelves, not to educate people, but to eradicate certain parts of history. As I studied the text, I wondered, what if those kind of people were treated like lepers? These actions were like lepers. These actions required from the leper, not because the disease was contagious, but rather because the disease strikes an example to the effects of evil in you and me and how it affects others in the world. Sin, we don't use that word that often anymore, but sin, disease, evil, hatred, injustice. Leprosy is deep. It's deeper than the skin. Leprosy, according to Leviticus chapter 13, starts really small. Then it spreads. Leprosy defiles everything and everyone it touches. And leprosy causes isolation. And the same can be said of the evils of the world today, whether they be insensitivity to the suffering of the poor, whether it be greed, whether it be this thirst for power, whether it be political corruption or human trafficking or environmental exploitation, religious extremism or racism, all of them like leprosy, deeper than the skin. Starts out small and then spreads, defiles everything and everyone that they come in contact with, and they isolate people from other people. In the text, a leper comes to Jesus, imploring him, kneeling and saying, "Jesus, if you will, if you want to, if you desire, you can make me whole. You can make me clean." Perhaps he awoke one morning in that leper colony and he heard that Jesus was in town. Maybe he heard that Jesus had healed all sorts of diseases and even raised some dead people, diseases and demons out of people. For the first time in his life, for the first time in a long time, hope had awakened in his heart. And this condition of hopelessness seemed a light of hope because he heard that Jesus was going to be in town. It's disheartening to hear. But there are people back in those days, in ancient days, and even people today that believe that some people were inflicted with certain types of diseases because God put it on them. It's disheartening to hear Christians today attribute diseases like AIDS to God's punishment against a certain group, instead of understanding them as a natural occurrence. This judgmental attitude is not in line with the compassion and the love and the grace that's in the Bible. Or that scripture quoting, Bible-toting person who lived down the street from me, who told me when my wife was diagnosed with cancer that maybe she got cancer because she got some sin in her life. It took all the God in me not to punch him right in his face. But I knew as a black man, if I punched a white man, I'd still be in jail. Most people back then believed that leprosy was the stroke of God, that it was God's punishment or God's judgment against a certain people because of a certain thing. Leprosy was cruel. It was a cruel blow to one's self-esteem, and it made them feel unloved. It made them feel unwanted. It made them feel uncared for. But that morning, faith was awakened in the heart of this leper, and he had to get to Jesus. Whatever motivated this poor, wretched man, he began to hobble to Jesus. Can you see the multitude of crowds around Jesus as this leper starts walking towards him? Can you hear the commotion in the background of the people as they realize that this leper was in their midst? It's like a black man at a KKK rally. It's like a MAGA supporter at the Democratic National Convention. Can you see the crowd being, "Shh, what are you doing here? Who are you?" The disgust of this man as he passed through the middle of this crowd, as he makes his way through the frightened crowd and stops within arm's length of Jesus. And he kneels before Jesus. In the ancient culture, kneeling was a familiar gesture of respect. It was a gesture of submission to a higher power. The Hebrew regarded the knee as a symbol of strength. So bending your knee was a way of giving strength and knowledge and acknowledging God's strength and God's power. In the Bible, kneeling symbolized humility. When you kneel, it's symbolizing reverence and submission to God. It's a physical expression of acknowledging God's power and God's authority and God's declaration. So this leper comes before Jesus and he bends his knees and he kneels. But the leper not only kneels, he also declares his desire to Jesus. And what he says to Jesus is very telling. His words indicate a desire to be free from this disease. His words declare his faith in Christ's ability to do in him what he needed to be done. His words reveal his desperate need for God's grace and God's mercy and God's love. The leper had reached a place where he knew he needed a miracle. He knew he needed deliverance from this disease. In fact, in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, he says, the writer of Luke says that he was full of leprosy. He was, in modern day terminology, he was in stage 4. He was nearly gone. And he was in need of a divine intervention. So he came to Jesus. And let me pause right here and say, it matters not how wrecked up or ruined your life may be. It matters not where you've been, where you are, or where you're going. You can always come to Jesus. Preach, Kenneth. I'm doing the best I can. As the crowd watched, the leper fell before Jesus and asked Jesus for a miracle. What will Jesus do? Will he also turn in disgust like the people in the crowd? What will Jesus do? Will he call the man to be stoned to death? What will Jesus do? No, Jesus doesn't do any of those things. But Jesus does the unthinkable. He shows the man compassion. He shows the man grace. He shows the man love. We don't know how long it has been since this man had been touched by another human being. We don't know how long it has been since he had been embraced by his family. We don't know how long it had been since he felt another hand touch his hand. He had been isolated. He had been left alone to die. See, because the law strictly prohibited touching a leper, and it made one unclean if they touched a leper. Touching a leper could also cause the one to become infected who touched the leper. You could even be cited if you touched the leper. But Jesus touched him. Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever been rejected? Every now and then I get a few acting parts, and I was sharing this with someone before the service. I said, you know, I go to 60 auditions a month and get one booking. There's a lot of rejection in that industry. Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever felt excluded? How would your life, or how has your life changed by knowing that Jesus welcomes you just as you are? What areas of this story and your faith journey needs to be touched, needs to be restored by Jesus? Jesus touched the man. In the Bible, Jesus touched many people. Jesus showed love and demonstrated the power of God and the sense of belonging and acceptance to many people by just touching them. He touched Peter's mother-in-law and healed her. He touched a blind man at Bethsaida, not once but twice. And some of us need not just one touch, we need two touches. He touched a young woman and healed her who was having a bleeding issue. I don't know what the leper expected. Probably expected Jesus to run off. Probably expected Jesus to rev the crowd up and say, stone him. I don't know what the leper expected, but Jesus touched him. Can you imagine his surprise? When Jesus reached out and touched him, He never expected that. Can you hear the crowd gasp as Jesus touched him? How glorious that one touch must have been for this man. It must have felt like nothing that he has ever experienced before. And I want to believe today that Jesus is still touching. I want to believe that Jesus is still transforming lives today. It makes no difference who we are. It makes no difference what we've done. It makes no difference where we are. Jesus is still touching. We're not so bad. We're not too far off. We're never beyond receiving a transforming touch from Jesus. Have you experienced a touch? Have you experienced a touch? Do you remember how it felt? The songwriter says it this way. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. A transforming touch by Jesus.